Bell's Cuisine Cafe is an anchor of sorts in downtown Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. The diner is located directly across from the legendary Sioux Locks, where 1,000-foot-long freighters trundle past as they transit the locks day and night. Carl and his wife Paula also own Superior Winery and Brewery. Their specialty is locally sourced ingredients from nearby farms. Come along and join me as I visit with Carl and Paula as they share their culinary passion and the secret to their booming business in the midst of winter. And here's a hint. In addition to the snowmobile, snowshoe, and cross-country ski crowd, top secret Detroit Automotive Winter Test Operations keeps their catering business hopping when the outside temperatures plummet way below zero. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from way up north in Michigan. We're in Sault Ste. Marie now, and we're with Paula and Carl. Tell us about your restaurant, how it started.
It's always been my husband's dream to have his own restaurant, and that came to fruition in 2001. We wanted to be able to give to the community something that we had experienced all our life, and that is homegrown food, food made from scratch, food from local gardens. We also wanted our children to be involved in that endeavor.
And does it go to the next level as far as environmentally friendly foods that aren't sprayed and organic whenever you...
Absolutely. I mean, some of the farmers aren't certified organic, but they use good practices, and so their food is organic in a sense, but just not certified. Absolutely. We want to avoid pesticides, any kind of fungicides, fertilizers, just to have good food from the earth.
Have you guys always been like that? Did you, Carl, as a young start-out chef, understand that dimension of food and sourcing?
Absolutely, yeah. We've always tried to do local food, and Paula's sister was really involved in a health food store. So when we first got married, we got acclimated into what was good for us and what was proper eating, and we've tried to focus that into our cooking and into our restaurant too. So,
and what I find fascinating is you didn't start out in the north, you started out down south, and you intentionally chose to come up about as far north as you can get in America, a very seasonal place, you know, where it's got this tight 3 months summer season, and then you have to reinvent yourself. And yet that didn't stop you. Tell us about that dimension of your mission and your life, how it worked out.
Well, I came up here for a job, and I got hired into an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and they had a training camp up on Lake Huron, and we were fortunate to be put on staff there. And we didn't really choose to come up here, but that's where it brought us. So,
once you got here, something, a light went on, and you went, this is pretty cool, that you didn't realize.
We loved it up here. We just fell in love with it, and it was a great place to raise our children. And
what would be the reasons why, you know, the most alluring, attractive elements of living here and wanting to stay?
I would say, first, the people. I mean, it's just slower paced, more laid back. People aren't in such a hurry. And the beautiful nature. I mean, oh my goodness, the waters, the trees, the land, the soil is, it's lush, and you know, certain areas.
Absolutely. The outdoorness, mm-hmm. the activities we have available to us out here are just phenomenal. And the beauty and the fishing. We love to fish, so.
During the summer months, this is like what they call God's green acres, or about as close to heaven as you're going to get on earth. It really is just magnificent. But then something happens when winter comes. And looking in from the outside, it's like, oh my God, you guys just probably hunker down by the fireplace until May. But not so. No. That's been the most mind-blowing in my journey here this time, is the degree and extent that you all go with the seasons and make the most of it.
It is amazing. Day in and day out, the snow removal is phenomenal. In the 12 years that we have been running this business and we do some catering, we've not been able to get to a catering job only once or twice in the 12 years because of the way they quickly remove the snow. And you just get used to it. It's just a part of life.
I understand the summer 3 months of all the tourists from around the world wanting to come here and savor. But I'm going, well, what would you guys, how would you keep your restaurant going in the winter? Tell me about one of the secrets with Detroit and the car testing that goes on up here. That's a great story, one that you wouldn't think, that creates a whole business infrastructure.
We are very fortunate to have some test tracks up here for the car companies. They do a lot of catering with us, and they service their guests that come up to try these parts and also their employees. So they keep us quite busy, and they also come in the restaurant in the evening for dinner, meals, and different things like that. So we're very fortunate to have them up here.
They, in a way, are really a game saver for you. They make it doable to have a viable year-round business.
Absolutely. I don't know if we would be in business right now if it wasn't for the car companies coming up. There are up to 250 employees that come up in the winter. They not only help Carl's Cuisine, but the local hotels and the groceries. I mean, everyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's huge. It's a huge part of our winter income.
Below the radar. You would never know they're here or it's going on. It just kind of hums along.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. And then you also have the snowmobilers. And then you get, you know, snowshoeing is becoming very popular. And people come up here. It's so beautiful. It's just amazing in the winter. I think equally as gorgeous in the winter as it is in the summer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And cross-country skiing is pretty big up here, too.
Yeah. So. And we do that personally where we live, and we go cross-country skiing. We take our dogs with us, and you'll go around a corner and see a beautiful wolf or deer. It's spectacular.
I heard something about bears up here, too.
Oh, yeah, a lot of bear. And we've had several at our bird feeder, and they're big. They really are.
When I was working at the camp down on Lake Huron, I left the barbecue down after we were done camping and was going to get it the next day. Well, a bear got into it and just tore it to pieces. So, yeah, they're around.
I don't know how y'all could get bored, because just this morning, learning about all the fun things you do in your sleep, like grow grapes in a winery. Tell us about the other dimensions of your lives.
You know, besides working and just being privileged to have a place where we can employ 24 employees, we love to work the land, and we love to garden. We love to grow, starting the grapes, especially up here in the cold climate, and, you know, finding hops on our property that were there for 80-some years, and, you know, the apple trees. We have, you know, 14 different apple trees that were part of the farm, and all of those help us to bring into the restaurant.
You have your own winery now.
Yes, we do. We have our own winery. It was came to 4 years ago, and that is fabulous. It's just been huge, and it just seems so natural, because good wine goes with good food and pairing and using the wine in the cooking. You know, Carl and the chefs all just come right out and grab a wine they want, and they think it's going to be great in this dish, and they use it in their cooking. And then, you know, doing the beer the same, growing the hops. And now
cooking with beer, too.
And now cooking with beer, you're right.
It's a whole new dimension of what we're making in the back, so it's a lot of fun.
Interesting. So the beer that you make and sell, it's all consumed locally. You don't exported in growlers or
not
in kegs.
Yeah, we haven't been able to produce enough beer yet to get that, but this is our first summer, so we're just kind of feeling our way through it and figuring it all out. Eventually, we hope to do some of that.
And then you mentioned about having a bunch of apple trees. It follows that you might be thinking about doing some cider, hard cider?
Absolutely. We do have some hard cider on the menu right now, but they're not from our own apples. But definitely, it will be not far along that we'll have hard cider with our own apples.
Hopefully this fall. I mean, we had a really big apple harvest this year.
Yeah,
so
it was amazing, because we had an extremely warm summer and a mild winter. Mm-hmm. So the apple harvest is fantastic.
And does applesauce happen too?
Oh, yeah, we do. I just made my granddaughter.
Apple butter?
Yep, apple butter, apple crisp, apple cobbler, applesauce, apple pie. You know, apple dishes, I mean, chicken and baked in an apple chutney is delicious. We have an apple wine and pour that over a pork roast and bake it in that apple wine.
Our fresh apples.
Yeah, with our fresh apples. Yeah, delicious.
Okay, tell me more about your passion, about your food, like signature dishes, you know, what you're best known for.
Carl's background, he worked for a chef that was schooled in Europe, so he really specializes in sauces, and his soups are phenomenal. Then our fresh local, you know, we buy a lot from our local farmers, so we are really exploring and developing menus with vegetable dishes. It's a little bit harder to get local meats right now, being USDA inspected, but we hopefully will have a site that will be doing that soon. But we do try to get meats and chickens that are antibiotic hormone free. We really specialize in those and prime rib.
One of our big sellers too is our pasties, which is
course.
A UP's specialty up here.
For those that don't know about pasties, a little backstory.
Well, the pasties originated from the Cornish. What they were popular for was to serve as a meal for the miners. They were large in weight. They were hearty beef and potatoes and rutabaga and carrots, depending on what part, you know, you were from. And then they would be made for the miners. They would take them warm in their pockets to keep their hands warm. So they usually were made in the morning. And then they served as a meal throughout the day because some of these miners were down and working 12, 14 hours a day. So sometimes they get two meals. Also, the Cornish were superstitious folk. You notice in a pasty, what is a pasty? It's all those ingredients I mentioned. And then it's wrapped in a pie crust and baked. They're enclosed. But they would make them with a really, like, an inch and a half, 2-inch handle. And the reason that they had that big handle is because when you're down and you're working, you get some carcinogenics, some poisons on your hands. So they would eat their pasty and hold on to that handle, but would not eat the handle. Then they would get rid of it, but they, being a superstitious folk, they would leave that handle for the spirits or whoever to appease them. But Carl's background is Swedish. Now, his mother and dad came here from Sweden. Excuse me, his grandma and grandpa came here from Sweden. And they migrated to the western part of the UP. And that's where his father was born. And his grandpa worked in the mines there. And so the Swedish, you know, it's like our Thanksgiving dressing. Depending on where you're from, you're going to make it a little bit different. And being the Swedes, they made it a little bit different than a Cornish. But so that's a Swedish recipe. And it is a fourth generation recipe because our children make it now.
We probably make 100 to 200 of those a week. Wow. Here in the summer. So it's a pretty popular dish and keeps us very busy in the kitchen, I'll tell you that.
Do you ever do any Swedish dishes?
I haven't done a lot of Swedish cooking. I honestly don't think it would be that popular. That's a lot of the Swedish food is probably scary to Americans.
All right.
Well, you didn't like that?
I think it's hilarious. But you do. You've got recipes that you make from your mom. You've got the pasties, and then you've got the Swedish meatballs.
I guess I do make the Swedish meatballs. You're right. You're right. We do Swedish meatballs, and we do the pasties. Pasties aren't really Swedish, though. But
well, what is the alcoholic beverage you make in the summer?
Yeah, we used to make a drink called Glug, which is a Swedish drink with wine and different liqueurs and lots of dried fruits and stuff that was popular. Then again, it's an acquired taste.
All right, I'm coming back. This has been great. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you.
Yeah.
My name is Paula Nelson. For any information about Carl's Cuisine Winery and Brewery, you can visit our website at carlscuisine.com or like our Facebook. Our telephone number is 906-253-1900. We would love for you to come visit and take a tour and have our brewery and winery and have a wonderful meal.
And my name is Carl Nelson, and thank you very much.
Carl and Paula, thank you so much. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Sault Ste. Marie, almost Canada.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.